It's Texaco Time with Fred Allen. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, and a special welcome to our armed forces all over the world who will hear this program by shortwave. Tonight, we present Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hoffa, our special guest, Dr. Rockwell, the sage of Booth Bay Harbor, the winner of the Texaco College competition, George Strasser from St. John's University at Brooklyn, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Father's Day. We haven't anything on our program tonight about Father, but we do have a man whose jokes will make you yell uncle. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Wallington, I noticed that you always make me the butt of your jokes when a festive day rolls around. Now, your father's day remark just now was a rare sample of your flair for the trite.
Yes, trite is right. I always try to keep my announcements topical.
Well, I know that, yes. Jimmy. I remember on Washington's birthday, remember you said, George Washington threw a silver dollar across the Potomac River. Here is a man who, if he was a skunk, wouldn't throw a cent.
Yes, and on Christmas, I said, tonight I bring you a man who looked as though Santa Claus came down his nose and left a bag under each eye.
Well, how do you ever think those things up, Jimmy?
Well, I'm down in the saloon working day and night, Fred. Oh. I write my funny announcements weeks ahead.
Oh, you do, really?
Yes, I've got my 4th of July announcement ready right now. It's a Lulu. Do you want to hear it?
Well, yes, I might as well have it over with, Jimmy.
Okay. To celebrate July 4th, folks, I can't give you a firecracker, I can't give you a sparkler, but I can give you a little punk.
Now, all right. Now. All right, Jimmy. Touche. I am too tired to argue. I am turning post-haste to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. 16-day nationwide collection of scrap rubber requested by President enters its second week. Huge campaign is expected to yield several million pounds of rubber urgently needed to relieve the rubber shortage. All around the country, people rush to gasoline service stations to turn in their rubber scrap. At Boston, Massachusetts, a society woman says,
"We of Boston 400 are behind the scrap drive 100%. We're giving rubber parties. A girl can't get in unless she brings a heel."
Thank you. At New York City, a worker says,
"I'm a window washer. I gave my squeegee into the rubber drive."
Oh, you did? Well, how are you cleaning windows now?
Well, I just throw the water up against the windows and I let it run down the side of the building.
And nobody says anything?
Well, in New York, what difference does it make? A few more drips, so what?
At Humdrum Falls, Vermont, a town official says,
"I'm the fire chief. I give the town fire hose into the rubber drive."
Well, how do you put out fires, Chief?
I got 20 old men in the fire department.
I see.
When we get to a fire,
yeah,
the whole 20 of us shinny up the side of the burning building until we get to the top.
And when you and the 20 old men get up on top of that blazing building with no hose, how do you put out the fire?
We drool.
A young lady who cooperated early in the rubber drive is LaBelle Laverne. You made your contribution, LaBelle.
I couldn't do no more than I'd done, so I'd done it.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I'm a bubble dancer. I only had one bubble to my name.
Really?
I timed me bubble into the rubber drive.
Well, good for you. What show are you with, LaBelle?
Girls of the Moulin Rouge.
The Moulin Rouge, huh? Well, you were doing your bubble dance in the show?
Yeah, it was the first act finale.
Yeah.
The curtain goes up, I'm sitting in the bathtub acting coy.
Yeah.
The girls come on, they're nymphs bearing luck.
All these nymphs come on bearing luck,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, the nymphs throw the luck into the bathtub,
uh-huh.
It foams up.
Yeah.
I pick a big bubble off of the foam.
Mm-hmm.
I step out of the tub with me bubble.
Yeah.
The orchestra plays, "I Don't Want to Walk Without You, Baby."
And you did your dance?
At the finish, I'd done a dervish spin off stage.
Uh-huh.
Blue lights.
Blue lights.
I'm gone.
Yeah?
The bubble bounces on and takes a bow alone. Quit curtain.
Well, tell me, La Belle, now that you've turned your bubble into the rubber drive, have you quit the theater?
Oh, no, I'm rehearsing a new dance.
Something artistic?
It's a vegetable striptease.
A vegetable?
Yeah. As the curtain goes up, it's a victory garden.
Good.
I'm standing behind a watermelon.
Yeah?
The music starts, then I do a dance with the watermelon.
Fine.
For an encore, I take off the watermelon and dance with a honeydew.
With a honeydew. And for your next encore?
Oh, I dance with a tangerine.
The vegetables keep getting smaller.
Yeah, it's a striptease only with vegetables.
Well, how does your dance finish?
As I'm taking bows with the tangerine...
Yeah?
I point to a grape...
Yeah?
The curtain comes down.
Just in time.
As long as La Belle Laverne keeps dancing, there'll be plenty of rubbernecks in the audience.
Well, that ought to help out the shortage, and thank you, La Belle Laverne. A man whose marital status has been endangered by the rubber drive, he's Nugent Sprocket. You had some trouble, Nuge?
Why, if it wasn't for the neighbors, I'd have killed her.
Killed who?
My wife, that she double-crossed.
Now, wait, now. Now
I had her by the throat. Get me a tape measure, I says, and I'll beat you within an inch of your life.
Now, wait a minute. What the...
The rubber caused the trouble. Every piece of rubber in the house she gave away.
No kidding.
The rubber heels are off of me shoes. I gotta walk tiptoe.
No kidding.
My goddess is gone. My stockings I gotta stick up with chewing gum.
Oh.
My suspender she turned in.
Well, how do you...
I got my pants glued to my union suit with new skin.
Oh, well, that's...
This morning I go into the bathroom to shave. That suction thing that holds my shaving mirror to the wall is gone.
Gone?
Trying to hold the mirror with one hand and shave with the other, I cut off the enemy nose.
I thought your pug looked a little raw there.
I go to take a bath, the rubber plug's gone out of the tub.
Oh, that's terrible.
I go to take a shower, the hose is gone off of the shower.
No.
The rubber sponge is gone, the soap dish is gone.
Well, how did you take a bath?
Well, I rubbed soap all over the bottom of the bathtub and rolled around in it.
Wasn't it gooey?
I felt like an eel coiled in a can of Johnson's wax.
Fine.
I step out of the tub, the rubber mat's gone. I done a power dive into the linoleum.
Well, your wife certainly fixed you up good.
Oh, that hen honk. She wants rubber. I'm getting the divorce in Newark.
What has a Newark divorce got to do with rubber?
I'll give it a Jersey bounce.
Very good. Well, I guess that about winds up.
Hold it, pray, my merry gawk. Falstaff's here, his wares to hawk.
Falstaff? Open shore, huh?
Fresh from the doghouse. I've been molting.
You haven't brought more poems, I hope.
Have you heard, "Alas, alack, woe is me, life is naught but fiddle-dee-dee"?
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, to be a splinter, the things that I'd stick into...
No, I don't think I've heard that either.
And my Father's Day epic.
Oh, you have a Father's Day poem? What is it?
You pull up the railroad track, Mother, and I'll get some ties for Dad.
Now, wait. For your information, Falstaff, tonight we're talking about rubber and the scrap salvage drive.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a song.
Oh, a rubber chant, have
yes,
you?
I have brought the Peekskill male octet to sing it for you.
These two characters are the Peekskill male octet?
Yes, six of them refuse to sing on this program.
Why?
Loyalty to Major Bowes.
But these two finks will sing, huh?
Yes. This little man is known as the Peekskill Nightingale.
But he looks as though he just fell out of a nest, if you don't mind my saying so. Who is this other specimen?
Oh, he. He was formerly Lawrence Tibbetts' barber.
Oh. Well, all right. Let's hear their rubber salvage song.
If the Peekskill Mail Octet is ready, you may carol, gentlemen.
R is for that raincoat in your closet. U is for that unused rubber mat. B is for your old hot water bottle. B also for babies, you know what. E is for each inner tube discarded. R is for your rubber bathing cap. Put them all together for Uncle Sammy. With rubber we can rub out Mr. Jeff. Let's do it now.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And from the Peekskill Mail Octet and Falstaff, we turn to welcome Kenny Baker. Kenny nods to his conductor, Al Goodman. Mr. Goodman raises his baton, and Kenny sings All the Things You Are.
Springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the sky. Dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are. Time and again I've longed for adventure, something to make my heart beat the faster. What did I long for? I never really knew. Finding your love, I found my adventure. Touching your hand, my heart beats the faster. All that I want in all of this world is you. Of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the sky. The dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are mine.
That was very nice. Say, Jimmy, what is that you have there, an automobile map?
Why, yes, you might call it an automobile map, Fred. At least it's going to take my car a long, long way.
Oh, you're going on a trip, are you?
No, Fred, this isn't that kind of an automobile map.
Oh, no?
This is a map of an automobile.
Uh-huh.
In other words, a chart that shows every lubrication point, like an X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Texaco dealers have these, and they use them every time they give a car Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication service.
Well, look, Jimmy, you said this map or chart here would take your car a long, long way.
Well, it will, Fred. Because my Texaco dealer, working by chart, not by chance, gives my car regular Marfac chassis lubrication that will mean perhaps thousands of extra miles of service. You see, Marfac is Texaco's super-tough chassis lubricant that stays put. It won't readily wash out, pound out, or squeeze out. It protects every vital chassis point against destructive wear. The proper lubrication of your car is one worry you can avoid if, instead of just asking for a grease job, you ask for Texaco's 40-point Marfac chassis lubrication service at Texaco dealers from coast to coast.
Al Goodman and his orchestra have just played the introduction to a song called Jingle Jangle. Music lovers who would like to hear Maestro Goodman finish a number can tune in 2 weeks from tonight when Mr. Goodman will start the Texaco Star Theater summer program. Mr. Goodman has enough unfinished music left over from the winter to last him all summer. So there's no reason why...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. Say, is that envelope you have there, is that for me?
No, it's for me.
Oh.
It's a letter from Mary Livingston.
Oh, from Mary, huh? Well, what does the Belle of Plainfield have to say?
I'll read it.
Good.
It says, Dear Porty, well, here we are on the vacation Jack promised the whole gang. We left 2 days ago, all packed in Jack's Maxwell.
The Maxwell, huh? Mm-hmm. That Civil War Jeep that he still... You know, have you ever heard how Benny gets the Maxwell to start?
How?
He runs ahead of it with a magnet. You don't know. But what else does Mary say there?
Don Wilson's got the back seat all to himself.
Old jelly hips, huh?
It says, lots of Don is hanging over the sides of the Maxwell, but Jack has hung two red flags on it.
Two red flags on it. You know, when Wilson sits down in a chair, the chair has a hangover. It's Wilson.
Mary says, we just passed one of the army camps Jack played last May. They threw rocks at us.
Well, that's why they loved him in St. Joe. It's sandy country down there. Go ahead. What else does she say?
Jack saw Fred Allen's picture in Life magazine. He's trying to get his dime back and suing Life for a nervous breakdown.
Good, good. Can't get any more than that for a dime these days of breakdown and trouble. Is that all?
Yes. Mary says, so long, Porty. Give my regards to Kenny Baker, Jimmy Wallington, and old Sourpuss.
Uh-huh. She doesn't mention me, huh? Well, that's how they are, you know. Hello, hello, Kenny.
Hi, Effie.
Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Porty.
I just had a letter from Mary Livingston, Kenny. Jack has taken everybody on a vacation.
Well, when I was working for Mr. Benny, he took us all on a camping trip one summer.
Well, confidentially, how was it, Kenny?
It was all right, but I was hungry all the time.
Benny didn't bring any food?
I built a fire as sort of a hint. Mr. Benny got it.
And?
Mr. Benny handed me an axe, pointed to Don Wilson, and turned his back.
I knew that guy was a cannibal. He'd not only eat his best friend, he'd eat him on Friday, a man. Be thankful I'm laughing. I know what's coming. You see it. Be thankful I took you away. Be thankful I took you away from that savage, Kenny.
Yes, with you I'm still living. But that's about all.
Now, why, until you came with me, Kenny Baker, you didn't even know what money looked like.
Maybe the next place I'll work, they'll let me touch it.
Now, wait a minute. You get paid every week on this program.
Not money.
What else?
All I get is a piece of paper with some writing and your name on it.
Why, those are checks, Kenny.
What are checks?
Kenny, you've been getting those pieces of paper for 2 years now. What have you been doing with them?
The first one I pasted on my autograph book as a souvenir.
Yes?
The rest I just piled up.
But, Kenny...
Now, wait a minute. You keep out of this, Portland. Kenny, you've heard of the waste paper drive.
Why, sure.
Well, I'm handling the paper drive on this program, you see. Now, if you'll bring all those pieces of waste paper back to me, I'll turn them in.
Ah, it's too late, F.A.
Well, why?
I traded them to a fellow for 25 Pepsi-Cola tops.
Why, Kenny, that fellow built you.
Oh, yeah? He took your checks to every bank in town. Now he's around trying to get his Pepsi-Cola tops back.
Well, that will teach him a lesson. Never get it in writing. But enough of this. I have to introduce our guest.
Who's coming tonight, Mr. Allen?
Well, I heard from the traveler's aide that Dr. Rockwell was in town. So I invited him over tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the honor to present for his only radio appearance this season, Maine's Goodwill Ambassador, that fugitive from a lobster pot, Dr. Rockwell. Well, Doc, I haven't seen you for a long time. Where have you been keeping yourself?
I've been out in Hollywood all year, Fred, working at Earl Carroll's.
Earl Carroll's nightclub, huh? Well, how does it feel to be back in radio?
To tell you the truth, Fred, it seems funny to see everybody standing around here with their clothes on.
Well, California must agree with you, Doc. You look wonderful.
Yes, it's the sun, that climate out there. Why, the first 2 months out there, Fred, in Hollywood, I lived on nothing but orange juice.
Well, why didn't you keep it up?
I got too weak to squeeze the oranges.
Say, did you drop in at Paramount where I made that picture with Benny? You know, I told you to look in and mention my name.
Yes, and it's a funny thing, Fred. Remember in vaudeville, if someone opened an umbrella in the theater, everyone ran in all directions?
Yes, that was an old superstition.
Well, sir, mentioning your name at Paramount, Fred, is like opening an umbrella.
Well, how are things out in Hollywood, Doc?
I don't know, Fred. I felt like Veronica Lake out there.
Well, how do you mean you felt like Veronica Lake?
Well, I only saw half of what was going on.
With that hair hanging down, Veronica Lake's right eye must think she's living behind a horse or something. But... Tell me, Doc, what are you doing back east? Have you got the Good Humor concession on the Weehawken Ferry again this summer?
No, Fred, I'm just passing through now. I'm on my way to Washington.
Really?
Yes. Somebody found out I owned a briefcase. And the next day, I got a wire, come to Washington.
Your briefcase did it, eh?
Nothing else, Fred. A man caught in Washington today without a briefcase is a marked man. He's a taxpayer.
What are you... If he has a briefcase... Well, that's right. He has no briefcase. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do down in Washington, Doc?
Why, I'm offering my services to the government. I'll probably be a 90-cent-a-year man.
Oh, you mean a dollar-a-year man.
Oh, no. My agent gets 10%, Fred. That leaves me down to 90 cents.
Oh, well, that's the way it is in show. Well, what can you do in Washington, Doc?
What can I do? Mm-hmm. Why, the government wants boats, Fred. I can show them what we're doing up in Maine. Up in Maine, we're building boats so fast, they're launching them two at a time.
Well, how can they christen boats two at a time?
That's easy. One boat is hit with a champagne, the other boat's christened with a chaser.
Well... Well, that sounds good, Doc.
Yes, sir, Fred. They're making boats so fast. Every boat that launched there has four men swimming behind it.
Four men swimming behind it for what?
Well, they're putting on the rudder. See, Fred, you ought to get busy, too. You ought to get busy. Get to work on some good cause.
Well, I am, Doc. I've been working tooth and nail the last month trying to bring back Vaudeville.
Yes, and I heard about your Vaudeville campaign, Fred. You made a mess of the whole thing.
Mess? Why, all I said was...
Sure, all you said was Vaudeville is coming back, and what happened? Thousands of actors with perfectly good defense jobs quit, got their tights and Vaudeville stuff out of their trunks and hit the road.
Well, Jack Haley and Ben Burney told me that the country was hungry for Vaudeville.
That's right. The country is hungry for Vaudeville, but the people can't handle all this ham.
Well, how do you... how do you mean, Doc?
Why, most of the acts have been running back into Vaudeville without rehearsing. Half of them have forgotten their acts.
No kidding.
I'm telling you, remember Adolfo the hypnotist?
Yes, the hypnotist. He used to hypnotize everyone in the theater.
That's right. Well, Adolfo opened up in Kankakee last Monday. He hypnotized the entire audience at the matinee.
Yes.
And then he forgets how to get them out of the trance. And the audience is still walking around the town there in a cataleptic state.
Well, who'll notice it in Kankakee?
All right, and another thing. Podolsky. You heard of Podolsky.
You mean Podolsky and his educated pigeons?
That's the act. All the pigeons are homing pigeons. Podolsky had 4 weeks booked when the army steps in and drafted his pigeons.
Drafted his pigeons, huh?
Yes. And the army ties military information to the pigeons' legs. But no matter where they send them, those pigeons fly back to Lowe's State Theater looking for Podolsky. See, I tell you, Fred, Vaudeville's a mess.
Say, I'm glad you told me, Doc. I was thinking of trying a few dates in Vaudeville myself this summer.
Stay out of Vaudeville, Fred. Those acts will kill you.
Well, I've got to do something, Doc. I'll be out of work after next Sunday.
All right. Why don't you come with me, Fred? After I get through down in Washington, I'm taking out a medicine show.
A medicine show?
Yes, sir. I'm going all around the country with a horse and wagon. Selling vitamins. Vitamins are the thing today, Fred, and we'll clean up.
You mean vitamins?
Vitamins will cure anything. What's the greatest menace in this country today? Night blindness.
Night blindness? Well, people's eyes used to be all right, Doc. Now, what has caused this sudden epidemic of night blindness?
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit?
Yes, sir. I'll explain it. After a good night's rest, you get up in the morning. Your eyes are relaxed, and what happens? You eat a grapefruit, and right away, you get a pint of that citrus acid in each eye. Your vision is weakened, and you get night blindness. And night there is where the vitamins come in.
Well, what vitamin cures night blindness?
Vitamin A. You just eat 6 raw carrots with every meal, and you get 800 A vitamins each day.
And my night blindness is cured.
You can see like an owl. There's only one drawback, however.
Well, what is that?
Well, eating 18 raw carrots every day, you're filled up because you can't eat anything else. Naturally, consequently, you start to look like a rabbit. You see, you're weak, and you have no pep.
I can see now, but I can't go anyplace. So I need another vitamin.
Yes. Now you need B1.
Well, how do I get vitamin B1?
Well, all you have to do is to stop eating carrots, and now you drink a quart of molasses 3 times a day. That gives you 2,000 B1 vitamins every day.
My pep comes back.
You feel like Superman. But.
Yes. But what?
But eating all that sweet molasses ruins your teeth. So now you need vitamin B2. Gives you calcium. So you start drinking milk. 12 quarts of milk a day. 12 quarts of milk. And that gives you 7,000 B2 vitamins. See? Your calcium deficiency is corrected.
And my teeth are perfect.
Yes, sir. Your teeth are perfect.
Good.
But now your gums are all shut. The reason for that is you're drinking milk all the time. Your gums get no exercise. They get soft and spongy. But now you need vitamin C. 14 slices of whole wheat bread at every meal.
14 slices.
Yes.
The vitamin C fixes up my gums.
Right. And all you have now is just a little vitamin D deficiency.
But nothing.
With the result of rickets and bull eggs set in.
Oh.
Wait a minute. But good old vitamin E takes care of that.
Vitamin E?
Yes, red meat. For 10 days, you eat nothing but red meat.
And I'm normal again.
Yes. Well, that is, you're in perfect physical condition except one thing. You see, from so many vitamins, A, B, C, D, and E, you develop an acid condition.
Well, what cures my acid condition?
Vitamin F.
And vitamin F I get
from grapefruit. You just start eating. causes night blindness.
I know, Fred, and to cure night blindness, you simply start eating six.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. This is where I came in.
Yes, sir, and right there is the secret to vitamins, Fred. If you've got something wrong, vitamins will cure it. And if you haven't got anything wrong, vitamins will give it to you. Right there. Dr. Rockwell's medicine show is going to be a sensation.
Well, I don't understand. Where do I come in, Doc?
Before I can sell anything, I've got to have a crowd. You and I give a concert on the tailboard of my wagon. The crowd gathers, and I sell the vitamins.
A concert? Well, what do we play, Doc?
Well, you play the banjo, and I'll play my tin whistle. Say, let's run over a number right now and see how it sounds.
Well, all right, Doc. Wait a minute till I get set here, and we can go in a minute. If I can read the script from there, which I don't know. Are you in tune? What is that you have? The pure silver... are we ready? You ready,
right.
Maestro?
Right.
That number was turning out like the vitamins there. Look at that night blindness again. Well, thank you, Dr. Rockwell. And now as the doctor packs his tin whistle and sphygmomanometer... I should have saved half of that word for next week. I could. Jenny returns to sing for us. Put your arms around me. All right.
Was a lake, a boat, a boy and girl together were sailing like a feather in the breeze. The moon was bright that night, and while they sailed together, up and down and all around, the words he sang were these. While the ripples on the lake are playing, can't you hear the little motorboat saying, put your arms around me, put your lips to mine, listen to the way my heart keeps beating, like the motor of a meter repeating, put your cares behind you, love just to wish to divine, oh what fun on the bumpity blue. Again to heaven with you. So my darling, if your heart compels you, do the things the little motorboat tells you. Put your arms around me, put your lips to mine. Put arms around me, put your lips to mine. Put your cares behind you, love for two is to divine. Oh, what fun on the bumpy blue, zigzagging to heaven with you. So my darling, if your heart compels you, do the things the little motorboat tells you. Put your arms around me, put your lips to mine. Put your arms around me,
Put your lips to mine.
And here's Larry. Say, Larry, you are just the man I want to see.
Well, what's up, Red?
Larry, those little talks you give every week about saving tires. You know, I've been meaning to talk to you about this. I think you can make your little talks more forceful.
Really? But, Fred, what's more forceful than saying tires will last twice as long at 40 miles an hour as at 60?
Well, why can't you say it like this, Larry, in sort of a poetry form? You know, lives of tires all remind us driving fast is now a crime. We can put more miles behind us if we only take our time.
Very good, Fred.
More forceful, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. But what about that point I make about keeping your tires inflated to proper pressure?
Uh-huh.
Because the average tire wears out 600 miles before it should if it's kept only 1 pound under correct inflation. Now, how would you say that?
Well, I'd use a slogan, Larry. When you let your tires go flappy, you make a Jap happy. A slogan. It's much more forceful, don't you?
Oh, Fred, you're terrific.
That's the trouble. I'm living it down.
Now, tell me, how would you say this, Fred? Drive into your Texaco dealer regularly to have your tires checked and also examined for damage that can be repaired before it's too late. Have your Texaco dealer check over your whole car regularly, too. His quality Texaco products and his lubrication and maintenance service will make it last longer. Now, how would you say that, Fred?
Oh, well, that's easy, Larry. Just say, let a Texaco dealer help you care for your car for your country. That's all that's said.
After a brief pause for station identification, Fred Allen returns to present the most talented undergraduate of St. John's University and the Texaco Workshop Players. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Star Theater brings you the most talented undergraduate of a leading institution of higher learning. Tonight, we salute St. John's University at Brooklyn, New York, by presenting its most talented student. Chosen by a vote of the undergraduate body, the winner is here tonight as Fred Allen's guest and will receive a cash award of $200. Are you ready to introduce our guest, Fred?
Yes, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present St. John's University's most talented undergraduate, George Strasser. Congratulations, George, and welcome to Texaco's psychopathic ward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
George, you present sort of a problem tonight.
How do you mean, Mr. Allen?
Well, most of our college guests have come from different parts of the country, you know, and I generally ask them what they would like to see while they're in New York. Now, you live in Brooklyn, and I imagine you've seen about everything here.
Yes, I come to New York quite often.
You've seen Radio City.
I have.
Well, you know, Mr. Rockefeller's growing vegetables over there now. He has a little victory garden. He's been having quite a lot of trouble with it lately. One of Mr. Rockefeller's summer squash vines grew out on 49th Street and started growing east on a one-way street. Well, the cop gave the squash a ticket. It was on his beat, so he naturally had to... But you say you... You say you've seen Radio City, George.
Yes, sir.
You've seen the Empire State Building, of course.
I have.
Grant's tomb.
Yes.
Well, I guess you've covered about everything. Tell me, when you come to New York, what do you enjoy most?
Going back to Brooklyn.
George, you are not a member of the Flatbush Chamber of Commerce by any chance, are you?
No, Mr. Allen. But people in New York, and especially some of the radio comedians, are always making fun of Brooklyn.
And Brooklyn folks resent it?
Well, we'd like to know what New York has that Brooklyn hasn't got.
Well, now let me see. New York has Central Park.
Brooklyn has Prospect Park.
Yeah. New York has the Metropolitan Opera House.
And Brooklyn has the Academy of Music.
Mm-hmm. New York has Mayor LaGuardia.
Oh, Brooklyn has Mayor LaGuardia, too.
Well, I didn't know the mayor had a sideline, George. Well, tell me, what has Brooklyn got, then, that New York hasn't got?
The Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, that shuts me up, George. Perhaps you'd better tell us something now about your alma mater.
Well, St. John's University was founded in 1870. Originally, it was just one building at Lewis and Willoughby Avenues.
And as the student body increased?
More buildings were added until 1929.
Mm-hmm.
Then a 14-story, million-dollar building was erected to centralize the professional schools.
Where is this building, George?
On Skemmerhorn Street.
Skemmerhorn? You also have Kosciuszko Street in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Do you know, George, that Kosciuszko Street started that joke? You heard that joke. A horse dropped dead on Kosciuszko Street. And when the policeman started to make out his report, he couldn't spell Kosciuszko, so the cop had to drag the horse over to Myrtle Avenue. Well, we have Brooklyn to thank for that joke, George.
That's very interesting, Mr. Allen.
Well, it is if you care for that sort of thing, George. But tell me, what are the major sports at St. John's?
Baseball and basketball, and both teams are coached by Joe Lapchick.
Well, how are your teams? Pretty good?
Well, some of the fellows at St. John's think our baseball team can beat the Giants right now.
I don't know about the Giants. They would probably have a little less trouble with Philadelphia, I mean, to audition. Well, what are you studying over there at school?
Well, I'm majoring in science and English.
You have any extracurricular activities?
Yes, I've been president of the Glee Club for the last 2 years, and I've also been singing in the varsity quintet.
Well, how long have you been singing, George?
Well, I started when I was 8 years old as a boy soprano.
A boy soprano in Brooklyn? And you survived, George?
Apparently.
Uh-huh.
I sing in the choir at St. James Brook Cathedral. The choir director, Monsignor Lawrence H. Bracken, has helped me a great deal with my singing.
Are you still singing with the Monsignor Bracken's choir?
Yes, I want to continue my studies until I go into the service.
What branch of the service are you entering, George?
Well, I'm trying to get into the V-5 program of the Navy Air Corps.
You have to be a college graduate to get in the V-5 program?
No. The requirements only call for a high school diploma, American citizenship. And the applicant must be unmarried and, of course, able to pass the entrance test.
Well, I hope things turn out the way you want them to, George.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
And now, if you're in the mood, what about your song?
Well, before I sing, I have a couple of guests for you.
George,
First, the college sends you this certificate and awards you an honorary degree, an F.D.
An F.D. fund dispenser, is that, George?
No, Doctor of Philosophy.
Doctor of Philosophy. Well, that's fine, George.
And the students at St. John's have asked me to present you with this pair of Indian moccasins.
Say, these moccasins look swell, George. Say, I wonder what short Indians did years ago. I wonder if there was an Indian named Adler who made elevator moccasins for the little Indians. Well, it's too late to worry about that, George. I want to thank you and the students at St. John's University for your kindness tonight. And I guess that about brings us to your song, George.
I'd like to sing The Green-Eyed Dragon.
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, St. John's University's most talented student, George Strasser, sings for us all The Green-Eyed Dragon.
Once upon a time lived a fair princess, most beautiful and charming. Her father, the king, was a wicked old thing with manners most alarming. And always on the front doormat, a most ferocious dragon sat. He made such an awful shrieking noise, so all you little girls and boys, beware, take care of the green-eyed dragon with the 13 tails. With greed, on little boys, puppy dogs, and big fat snails. Then off to his lair, each child he'll drag, and each of his 13 tails he'll wag. Beware, take care, and creep for haunted Then hurry upstairs and say your prayers, and duck your head, your pretty curly head, beneath the claws, the claws, the claws. The dragon went down to the kitchen one day where the fair princess was baking. He stole by mistake some rich plum cake which the fair princess was making. That homemade cake he could not digest. He moaned and he groaned and at last went west. And now his ghost with bloodshot eyes at evening clanks his chains and cries, "Me! head of the green-eyed dragon with the 13 tails. You feed with greed on little boys, potatoes, and big fat snails. Then off to his lair, each child he'll drag, and each of his 13 tails he'll wag. Beware, prepare, and creep or find him. Then hurry upstairs and say your prayers and duck your head, your pretty belly head, beneath the glove, the glove, the glove.
That was excellent, George. I'm sure the students, faculty, and alumni of St. John's University will be as pleased with your performance tonight as we are. And we here in the Texaco Star Theater wish you every success in your Navy career. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will present the last in our series, the most talented undergraduate of Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, Miss Dorothy Cawthron. Congratulations, Dorothy. We'll be looking for you next Sunday night.
And now Fred Allen has an important personal message for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, during the past week, millions of us have been collecting old and discarded rubber for the National Scrap Rubber Drive authorized by President Roosevelt. But there are still countless tons of waste rubber in American garages, cellars, and closets. Rubber that must go back into service to help win the war. The Scrap Rubber Drive ends on June 30th. But please don't wait until the last day. Look around your home for scrap rubber now. Any kind of old and discarded rubber will help. Every ounce counts, so please start collecting your scrap rubber tonight.
After you've collected all your scrap rubber, take it to any gasoline dealer. Texaco dealers and all other gasoline dealers, at the request of the President of the United States, are acting as collection depots for the scrap rubber drive. You may contribute to your scrap rubber, or, if you wish, dealers are authorized to pay you a penny a pound for it. All rubber will be turned over to our government, and all profit from its sale will be given to the Red Cross, USO, and Army and Navy Relief. So gather up your scrap rubber tonight. And tomorrow, turn it in to any Texaco dealer or any other gasoline dealer. Let's all get in the scrap with our scrap.
And now the Texaco workshop players. Tonight they reopen their hillbilly court for a final session. This mistrial is called Mountain Justice, or the judge saw the violin player was tired, so he let him rest his case. Court's open, Taylor.
In the court. First case on the docket.
Uncle Sim Pike versus Moody's Drug Emporium.
Uncle Sim Pike in court, is he?
I'm in the bar for justice, Judge.
This is where you can get it, Uncle Sim.
I'm asking damages, Judge.
Yeah, state your case.
Friday night, I went into Moody's Drug Emporium.
Ailing, was you?
No, Sunday was Father's Day. I went in to get Pa a present.
Well, how old is your Pa?
Nobody knows.
Don't, hey?
No, Pa so old, he's quit moving. Just lays there on the floor.
Do tell.
Every morning I put the cat on Paw's chest.
The cat?
Yeah, and if the cat's fur ripples, Paw's still breathing.
Well, you say you went into Moody's Drug Emporium to get your Paw something for Father's Day.
Yeah, every year I get Paw a stick of peppermint candy.
Yeah?
When I get home, I hold Paw's mouth open with the tip of my cane.
Yeah?
Then I run the stick of peppermint in and out between his gums. Paw likes it.
You're a good son, Uncle Sim. Now, what about your case?
Well, after I bought Pa's peppermint stick, my corn started to hurt, so I says to Moody, give me something to lead off these corns.
Yeah?
He give me a little bottle of something.
Little bottle of something, hey?
When I got home, I put the cat on Pa to make sure he was still breathing.
Yeah?
Then I run the peppermint stick in and out between his gums a while till Pa dozed off.
Till he dozed off?
Yeah, then I says to myself, Sim, let's have a go at them corns.
You drop the stuff on, what happened, Sam?
Wait till I take my sneaker off, Judge, I'll show you. Look!
Sakes almighty, you got holes clean through your whole five toes there.
When the wind blows through my toes at night, I can't sleep.
Why not?
Turn on your electric fan, Judge, I'll show you.
Okay, I'll start the fan here.
I'll hold up my foot so the wind can blow through my toes.
Yeah?
Listen, Judge.
Mighty, mighty pretty, Uncle Sam.
I can stop up my toes and play a tune. Listen.
Quiet. Order in the court. Order in the court. court. That base toe's a beauty there, Sim. Get your sneaker back on, Sim.
Okay.
Court fines to the plaintiff, damages are short.
Thank you, Judge.
I'll have you and Zeke Manners over some night when it's windy, Uncle Sim. You can take your sneaker off. We'll have a hoedown.
Yeah, I'll get Singing Sam.
Singing Sam, bring him along, too. Order in the court. Next case, Rube's Opossum Notch versus, versus Harvey Pinkham. And the charge here says murder.
Murder?
Quiet. Hush up. Hush your fuss down there. Harvey Pinkham to the bar.
It was me or him, Judge. I give him tit for he could give me tat.
Well, charge here says you shot unto the death one Marcel Duval.
Well, he was trying to steal my gal, Judge. Topsy Pry.
Well, who's Topsy Pry?
Topsy's the prettiest skinful of she in Possum Notch, Judge.
Prettiest skinful of she, eh?
Yes, sir. Topsy was Miss Glover's mange cure for 1919.
She was, eh?
Yes, Duval was trying to shanghai Topsy. I turned his damper down.
Guilty or not guilty, Harvey?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Stand down, Harvey. First witness, Linker Dander.
Present, Judge.
Occupation, Link.
I run the Welcome Stranger Trailer Camp down the holler off of Route 26.
You knew the deceased, Marcel Duval?
Yeah. Marcel pulled in at the camp about a week ago, give or take a day.
Yeah. Recall the time, do you?
Well, it was long about dusk. I'd just made the rounds of all the trailers with my mongoose.
Your mongoose?
Sometimes snakes get in.
Oh.
Four folks bed down or run the mongoose through their trailers just in case.
Yeah.
Well, I'd come back to my cabin, put the mongoose back in the safe.
Yeah.
I was strumming the strings of my zither with a turkey feather, playing Lonesome Dove.
That ain't on the hit parade this year, is it?
No. I heard a toot, and this Stanley steamer hauling a trailer pulled into the camp.
Yeah.
I put down my turkey feather, snapped on my flashlight, and went outside.
Yeah.
This here Marcel Duval jumps out of the car. He was wearing a pearl gray beanie, peach colored spats, a pastel cape with a belt in the back, cretonne slacks, and one buckle moccasins.
Yeah, Hollywood street clothes, eh?
Yeah. Had six gold teeth in front. Looked like he was chewing the sunset.
Yeah.
On his vest hung an elk's tooth as big as a little boy's leg.
The sakes are mighty.
On his right hand he had a diamond as big as a Brussels sprout. Not quite as green.
What business was he in, Link?
You name it, he was in it.
Yeah?
His trailer was full of medicine, hardware, furniture, ready-to-wear suits, pulled teeth, sold eyeglasses.
Want nothing he couldn't do, reckon?
Yeah. On the back of his trailer was a big sign, The Meadow Macy.
The Meadow Macy.
Yeah.
What about the murder, Link?
Well, sir, Topsy Pry is hostess at the trailer camp, Jake.
Yeah?
Next day, Topsy took one look at Marcel. She fell like a weather vane in a high wind.
Well, what about Harvey, your sweetie?
Oh, Topsy didn't have no time for Harvey. Harvey'd come slinking around playing a sweet potato. Topsy'd make off deep.
Yeah.
Harvey'd bend the crab and kink his toes. Topsy'd turn t'other way.
What happened?
Well, sir, I was out buttering some tree trunks to keep caterpillars from climbing them.
Yeah.
I heard a shot in Marcel's trailer.
Yeah.
I shot down the hot butter and the caterpillars I was holding and run over.
It did, eh?
Yeah, there's Marcel slumped over his briefcase, Topsy screaming, Harvey standing there, his shotgun still smoking.
That's all you know, Link?
Yeah, Marcel's gone. He didn't leave no will, so I took his X card.
Well, that's all right. Stand down, Link. Next witness, Topsy Pry.
The real Topsy's died, Judge. My body's carrying on.
Yeah?
Marcel's gone to that great trading post up yonder.
You was in love with the defunct Topsy?
At first sight, Judge. I was passing Marcel's trailer. The door was open. I seen all that merchandise. I was a goner.
Yeah.
I like a man who's got the merchandise, Jed.
Well, how'd you come to meet Marcel?
I was passing on my way to get some meat back out the bear trap for dinner.
Yeah.
Marcel leaned out of his trailer and says, Oh, you kid.
What'd you say to that?
23 for you, I said.
Yeah.
Blushing behind my meat cleaver.
Yeah.
He says, you're talking to a man with merchandise. Come in and wallow around a while, he says.
Went in, did you?
Judge, I never seen so much merchandise in all my born days.
Sold your bill of goods, did he?
Marcel was smooth, Judge. When he smiled with them gold teeth, you know how mustard looks when it's happy.
Yeah. Sell you anything, did he?
First time. sold me some Jockey Club perfume. He said the horsey set was using it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bottle of White Lily face wash.
Face wash, yeah.
And a pair of seersucker bloomers with raccoon bows.
Raccoon bows.
And for being a good customer, Marcel gave me a pair of knitted bookends and showed me how to use them.
Showed him how? Well, when'd you see Marcel again?
Every minute when I wasn't jacking up a trailer or fixing a flat, I was with Marcel.
Yeah.
I knowed I never would be happy till I owned everything in Marcel's trailer.
Well, what'd your sweetie Harvey do when he heard about Marcel?
Well, first, Harvey gave me money to keep buying things.
Why, Topsy?
Well, Harvey thought when Marcel run out of merchandise, I'd come back to him.
He was trying to Shanghai, Topsy.
Oh, he was.
I fixed his wagon.
Hush, Harvey. Quiet. Proceed, Topsy.
Marcel died in the middle of a proposition, Jed.
Any last words?
Marcel said, sign here. His finger wouldn't raise to point. He tipped his hat, said, excuse me, and died.
Stand down,
Topsy. Well, Topsy, he's died, Jed. My body's carrying on.
I feel the same way, Topsy. Tell your body to stand down, Topsy. Harvey Pinkham?
That meadow Macy, he was light-toed and link-side, Jed. I flattened his pucker.
Quiet.
He was trying to steal my gal, Jed.
Teddy Larceny, don't call for killing, Harvey.
I've known Topsy since she was so little. She wore a sugar sack for diabetes.
Well, how long you been going together?
Before either of us could walk, I was creeping with her.
You was creeping with her, hey? You growed up together?
Well, we learned to read out of the same catalog.
You was happy.
Yes, sir, till this here Marcel Duval come along. Jed, he was as oily as a mouse in a crankcase.
Yeah?
He knew Topsy's weakness was merchandise. He was trying to fry my fish.
Frying fish don't call for shooting, Harvey.
Well, I tried everything else. I was giving Topsy money, Jed.
Why? Why, Harvey?
Well, I was trying to clean this here Marcel out of merchandise.
Where was you getting all this money?
Marcel was lending it to me. The interest was 40%.
Well, why'd you shoot him?
Well, he was trying to get Topsy to run off with him.
Clarify, Harvey.
Well, yesterday, Topsy finally bought the last of Marcel's merchandise. His trailer was empty.
Yeah.
He was supposed to pull out for New York this morning.
Yeah.
I was hiding behind an old whipple tree, watching for Marcel to go.
Yeah.
I seen Topsy going into that there varmint's trailer.
Yeah.
I knowed he didn't have no merchandise. I sneaked outside the trailer to listen.
Yeah?
That's when he tried to get Topsy to leave.
He told you.
I heard him.
Marcel was a gentleman, Jed. He was out of merchandise. He was trying to make one last sale.
He was trying to sell his sale.
That's a lie, Miss Pinkham.
He was trying to get you to run away to New York. Yes, Jed.
Hold on. Order in the court.
He tried to get me to run away to New York, Jed.
I can prove it, Jed.
Well, get to proving, Harvey.
Didn't Marcel say to you, Miss Fry, I'll show you some New York life?
Yes, he did. Marcel was trying to sell me some insurance.
You mean New York life?
It's an insurance company, Harvey.
Well, I'll be ding-dong-doubly-doo-dad and hoo-dang.
And you'll also be held for sentence, Harvey.
Are you? You're going to give me life, Jed?
Court ain't giving you no 20-year endowment, Harvey. That's good. Court's adjourned.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Judy Canova, Hollywood's clown princess, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Cornell University, Miss Dorothy Cawthron. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to gather up your scrap rubber tonight and turn it into your Texaco dealer or any other gasoline dealer tomorrow. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.